Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Good to see everyone out here ready to listen to me yet this morning. I appreciate everyone being here. I hope this lesson is easily understood. First and foremost, I hope there's nothing here that is contradictory to God's word. Should that come up, or should you be concerned, I more than welcome you to come to me, because I need to be straightened out if I say something wrong. But I do appreciate you being here. In today's society, we see a lot of avenues of being able to communicate. We are in the day of age of technology, something that Bible times probably never even thought of, which I'm sure for us in the next 20 or 30 years, we'll be doing things that we never thought of today. But when you search something on the internet, how many results do you get? I mean, anybody who's actually looked on the internet, you can put in the words, just put in the words Jesus and see how many you get. I actually did that, and it won't even give me a number of how many things are out there. Whether they're true or not, but the topic of Jesus is that large on the internet that when you put that into your computer system, it doesn't even give you a number of how many hits is what they call them. And some topics you can see there may be 100,000 hits or there might be a million hits. And that just means there's that many different topics on there or articles that actually have that word in it. So when we see how this topic of Jesus and salvation and things are the avenues that we have that we can get that out, there's just so much there. What else do we get off that internet? A lot of ads, a lot of confusion. A lot more questions than we get answers a lot of times, if you have to use it regularly. And so there's a lot of clutter. But Jesus' word, God's word, is not clutter. It is easily understood. It's an easy topic. It's kind of discerning to see all of that is out there that isn't true. And so I hope today to just break it down into some simple three words. I get too far. I want to get this turned on. So we'll break it down into three simple words. The three C's of Christianity is the title of my lesson today. The first one that we're going to look at, if I get this to work. The first C in Christianity stands for Christ. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. In verse 23, Jesus Christ is what the Bible is all about. In the Old Testament, the writers describe how God created the world that Jesus would come into. We see from the very beginning where that all began. We see that they explained why he had to come to this world. We have the first sins with Adam and Eve. So as soon as Adam and man was created, not long after, we have a reason for a Savior. And much of the Old Testament is devoted to the showing how God created and nurtured the special nation of the Jews, from whom Jesus would receive his culture and religious nature. With the writings of the New Testament, we have documents describing his birth, his teaching, his ministries, his death, and his resurrection. His followers recorded the beginning of the church he established, as well as remaining teachings and provided his apostles. So from the very beginning, this word that we have, this book that we have, centered around Christ. Not only the person, his identity, his background, his beliefs, his heritage, the whole thing hinges on Christ's history. According to Jesus and the Bible, there are only two groups of people in this world. And we're going to look at that here in chapter 11, verse 23. That is, those who believe in his divine Messiah or the Son of God, and those who do not. And I talked about that in the Invitation Wednesday. If we're not obeying God's word, we just don't believe. We don't fear God enough. So in Luke chapter 11, here in verse 23, it says, "He who is not with me is against me, And he who does not gather with me scatters. We see only two groups there. Those who are with him and those who aren't. For Christians, Jesus is the one. He is the one. He's the one we preach. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23. He's the one we hope for. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. He's the one who will judge in Acts chapter 10, verse 42. And he is the one who rewards in Matthew 25 and verse 21. He is everything. There's so many more topics about what Christ did in the Bible. It goes on and on and on. But Jesus Christ is what Christianity is about. Christianity, the religion that we see in the Bible, is what it's all about. It's the study and the response to who he is as the Son of God. That's what we look at when we look at, we open up our word. We see that he is the Son of God. It is what he did for us, saved us from death, because we have all sinned. We have all come short. And so he has given us that opportunity. He has rescued us from an eternal death. And we also see when he will return. Now, we don't have a time frame. Only God knows when he will return, but it does tell us he will return. And most importantly for us, who is with him and who is not. We see the Bible tells us that if we follow his teachings, we are with him. And we see plenty of examples of those who are not with him throughout Scripture. Have you asked yourself that question? Are you a follower? Are you with him? If you are, if you can honestly say that you are a follower of Jesus, you've answered a lot of questions for yourself in the future. You've got your life set straight. You should have a clear path. It shouldn't be a question to you. The second C in Christianity stands for the cross. There are any number of religions that promote different spiritual concepts. They may come all the way from the Buddhist emphasize meditation. And Muslims, they do a pilgrimage to Mecca. Even there are some groups of Christians amongst the world that maybe focus on one word for God or dedicate one day to him. And so there's different things that get their focus and how what they think that they should be focusing on, and keep in mind that, you know, the cross is there. And there are others that live and die by miraculous or healings that they think they can still do. Now, we see in Scripture where some of those got their initial roots, and we see in Old Testament where some of this stuff happened. But we know we are a New Testament. We have New Testament guidance, and that is the law that we live by now. So Christianity is about the cross of Christ. It's about the sacrifice that was made. This is what Jesus said. He came. There in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. If we turn over there, Matthew chapter 16. And there in verse 21. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So the cross is right there. He's going to be sacrificed. The cross is the main topic of the apostles' preaching there in Acts 2:36. There in Acts 2 and verse 36. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Whom you crucified. And there's a number of references to the cross in Paul's teachings and preachings. It's the focus of why we have salvation, because Jesus gave himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Talks about the cross and crucifixion also. There in verse 2, it says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul's teachings dwelt on the sacrifice that was made and the cross. But we, as a Church of Christ, can also lose focus of these things. We get busy with life in general, our everyday worldly things that go on, and we can lose focus of these essentials. And when people ask, what church you go to, and you say Church of Christ, do they say that you are the church that stands for the cross, or do they remember us as the church that doesn't have a piano? Maybe you've had a conversation like that before, where someone's brought that up. And that's good, that's something that's scriptural, but is that what we need to be known for? Or do we need to know that we're a church that stands for the cross, that we stand for Christ? Even though there's other things that go with it, that should be our focus. That should be what we are known for. Why should we focus on that? The cross is the center focus of what saves us from our own destruction. We are a sinful creature, and without it, we have no salvation. Sin is our disobedience to God's law. It is the reason why we should physically die and spiritually be judged. But because Christ gave himself, we have an avenue to be saved. Sin is the reason we're afraid to die. We're afraid to face God because we all know we've sinned and we're not proud of it. We're not happy about it. But that's the reason why we might be not ready to see the judgment day. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned. Romans 6:23 says that we are all sinned and we should be condemned to spiritual death. We also know Romans 7 says no one has the ability to overcome sin and thus be right and acceptable to God without Christ. We're going to sin. Hopefully we can work on not sinning and not continuing in sin. But mankind is going to sin, which in turn is why we had to have a Savior. We had to have a crucifixion of Christ. So, the Apostle Paul summarized it this way. He says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, and I'm summarizing. But Christ went to the cross for us, to give us the hope of heaven. This cross is an historical event. God prepared for several thousand years. He knew that we needed it. He knew it was coming. Our life, either the one you have or before you knew about it and acceptable the cross, or it's the new life you now experience after you receive the forgiveness. Without this cross, Christianity is simply a religious self-help program. We are just a group that meets together and helps each other, and then we leave with a false sense of security. If we don't truly go to the cross, and it doesn't benefit us. The fact that Christ died on the cross, however, transforms our faith into the only solution for this universal problem of sin. It's the only way out. It wipes away our sins. We're no longer responsible for the ones that we've committed prior to repentance. Christ paid in full the cost of our sins. It satisfies God's demand that we be righteous. We owe it to Him. It absolves our punishment, gets us out of that sentence of death, eternal death. It brings peace. If God forgives us by way of the cross, we should forgive anyone who trespasses against us. And including ourselves. Sometimes I think we're our biggest critic. We know that we fail and we beat ourselves up. But if we go to the cross and we understand that we can be forgiven of those with true repentance, we need to be able to let that go. Because that's just going to hurt us in the future. We can forgive ourselves, and it allows us to forgive others. The cross can give us hope. No matter what happens in life, we are reassured that we can look forward to heaven with confidence and be welcomed. It is a focal point of the Church of Christ and should be a focal point in our religion, in our heart, in our soul, and of our message. The cross is Christ. It is redemption. It is salvation. The third C in Christianity stands for the church. Some people don't think they need the church in order to be a good Christian. They think they can be a good person each and every day, and by doing what's right, then they'll be okay. But they say they don't need the church in order to have a relationship with God. They don't have to come in and assemble with the saints. They don't have to be able to have that relationship. But saying this is like saying you don't have to have a body to have a relationship with your head. They go hand in hand. We've talked about that topic before in the past. We know that Colossians 1:18, the Bible teaches us that the church is the body and Christ is the head. And without the two together, there is no common factor. There's not a working relationship. An individual believer cannot have a relationship with Christ without being connected in some way to the rest of his body, which is the church. And we see that throughout Scripture, that the church is the body of Christ. The Bible teaches there's only one entity that is officially recognized by God in Christ as his body, and that is the church, Ephesians 4:4, one body. You wouldn't try to connect something else to your head, a television, a couch, a chair. Sometimes we sit in them long enough that we feel like we become one with them, but it just doesn't work that way. Only a human body goes with a human head, and in the same way, only the body compatible with the head of Christ is the Church of Christ, the church. The group of people, the group of Christians. Jesus died on the cross for the specific reason of creating a group of people that were saved. This group, saved by Jesus on the cross, called the church. In the turn, the church is the instrument that God uses to preserve the truth of the gospel. We are here to pass it on. We are here to be a good example. We are here to do God's will. We are here to be the vehicle, the internet, so to speak, of Scripture. We are to spread the good news. 1 Timothy 3:15. The Bible explains the church is the bride of Christ. It also says that we will return to earth in order to exalt the church to the right hand of God forever in 2 Timothy 2:12. So without the church, the head has no body. Which we all know what a body does without a head, right? It dies. Or likewise, if you want to say the head, you know, without the body, we'll die. Without the church, the gospel will die. If you are not part of a body, the church, you cannot be connected to the head, which is Christ, nor do you have access to his cross or the forgiveness that it provides. This church, being that third and final element of our three C's in Christianity, would have perished along with the death of the first century apostles and the disciples should it not have been for the group of Christians that kept the word, passing it on. Being a Christian is not easy. It's a struggle. But there needs to be some perseverance in the faith. We need to be able to preserve that heritage and keep it going. A lot of people take a lot of pride in their family name and under tradition. Without a boy to continue the family name, then the family name goes away, because in general, when the marriage between a man and a woman, the woman would take the man's name. But this is without Christians, without the church, the name of Christ would die off. It would just become something else. So being a Christian is not easy. It is not easy. But it is easy to remember these three things. If we can remember Christ, if we can remember the cross, Christ being the divine Savior, the cross being the place where our sins was cleansed, the church, the only body connected to Christ and charged with the responsibility of proclaiming his cross. That is our job. That is our responsibility. You know, the first century Christians, they did a good job of preserving this word. We have it today. They did a good job of documenting it, of passing it on. But that's not going to suffice for us today. We have to do our part. Because they did their part doesn't require us not to do our part. And without our part, the next generation won't get it. It is here. We have it. But we got to keep spreading it. We have to keep pushing it on. So the good news. The good news is today, now, you've heard the word. If you believe in Jesus as the Son of God and you accept his cross to wipe away those sins, then you are willing to express your faith as Jesus has commanded us, through repentance and baptism, you have the word. You now have knowledge. The bad news is there's no excuse now. So on the time of judgment, when it comes time for us to stand before God, what are we going to tell him the reason why we did not either make our life right because we had fallen away, or because we didn't obey in primary obedience? What's going to be our reason? We could say I didn't care. You could say I didn't believe. You can say I put it off. I didn't have time. I needed to get to lunch. You could say you didn't love, or you loved living in sin. You loved doing the things that you knew that the church wouldn't agree with. And you say you just weren't sure. But one thing we can't say is we didn't know. Because we do. We all know. This particular congregation has preached these words in multiple different sermons. This isn't the first time you guys are hearing any of these topics. So we all know. But we're all going to stand in judgment. So what would your answer be? Would you be willing to say, I didn't want to, or it didn't go with my busy lifestyle? Or today, are you willing to say, I screwed up, I'm sorry, I need Jesus, I need the prayers of the congregation? Or are you at the age of accountability or reason that you know that this, you should obey in primary obedience? And welcome Christ into your life, and in turn, you'll be more than welcomed into the church, the family of Christians. That is my lesson for you today. The three C's of Christianity: Christ, the cross, and the church. I hope it's been edifying and uplifting. I hope, again, everything that has been said has been the truth. And I hope and pray that we leave this building today, that we are all in the right side of God. And hopefully, should this day be our last, that we all get to heaven and we all are welcomed into that upper and better kingdom. If there's any way that we can help, let us know while together we stand and while we sing.